The following audio is brought to you by Summerside Community Church in London, Ontario. For more information on Summerside, visit us online at www.summersidechurch.ca.
But again, if you are new to Summerside and you haven't met me yet, please come talk to me after the service. Right? I would really appreciate that. And you know what? For that matter, maybe you've come to Summerside for a few years. Maybe you've been around for a while and we haven't connected yet. Please come and talk to me. I would love to connect with you because, you know, I get up here and I try to make a good first impression, but, you know, it's a lot of pressure. What if I get it wrong, right? What if I mess it up? What if I say something that you don't like? If you're going to get to know me and if I'm going to get to know you, we're going to need to what? Have some conversations. Right? If you're going to get to know my character, who I am, what really makes me tick, the kind of man that I am, we're going to have to talk. Because character is revealed in relationship. Let me say that again. Character is revealed in relationship. And that's true in every sphere of life. Maybe you've had a situation where somebody heard something about you, inferred something about you, or said something about you that maybe wasn't fully accurate or fully true. And so from that, certain people had a bad impression of you. That bothers you, doesn't it? Right? What about if you own a business or you work for a business and you get some negative reviews on Google or on Facebook? That kind of bothers you, doesn't it? Because you want to correct it. You want the truth to come out of the character either of your organization, the character of you yourself as an individual. Character is revealed in relationship. And it's the same thing with God. Some of you have heard a lot of stuff, a lot of things about God. Maybe you grew up in a religious home or a very fundamentalist type home, and your understanding or your view of God is one of Him being an angry, judgmental, harsh, and vindictive, detached God that sits in the heavens waiting to squish you whenever you're trying to have some fun. Maybe you grew up in a more liberal tradition, right? And your view of God is just that, I don't know, He doesn't really have much to say for my day-to-day life, but He basically, I think, just wants everybody to be really nice to each other. If you're going to have a relationship with God, if you're going to have a relationship with the real God, you need to know Him as He is, because God doesn't give us the option of making up who He is, of dreaming up what He's like, of figuring out on our own and hypothesizing and making it some kind of subjective reality. God doesn't give us that option. If there really is a God that we say that there is, it is important to know Him as He is. Can you imagine if somebody just said, you know what, I've never met you, I've never talked to you, but I'm going to go away and I'm going to dream up what it is that you're like. And then if I said, hey, do you know so-and-so? That person said, well, you know, to me, so-and-so is like this. Or to me, so-and-so is like that. You'd be frustrated. Because you'd say, hey, I want you to know me as I actually am. I want you to have a relationship with me where my character can be revealed so that you can have a proper and right understanding of who I am. And it's the same with God. He doesn't give us the ability or the right to make up what He's like. And the good news is that God is interested in revealing Himself. We don't have to dream up, make up some kind of subjective view of God, because God reveals Himself. And just like I said earlier, God's character is revealed in relationship. And today we're looking at a passage, a beautiful, important passage, just a few short verses, where God's character is going to be revealed. If you are going to have a relationship with God, it needs to be the real God, not something that you've made up in your mind, not something that other people have told you about God, not something that your tradition, your upbringing, whether it was conservative or whether it was liberal, told you about God. You go to the source, And today we are looking at a passage where God reveals three very important and very beautiful things about himself. We're working through the book of Exodus. Scripture is our authority. If we're going to know God, it starts with recognizing that Scripture is above us, not below us. That we don't dictate what parts we like, what parts we accept. We at Summerside are a people who say we're not making it up on the fly. We submit to God in all things. He has given us his word. And so we follow that. Right now we're preaching through the book of Exodus. So if you have your Bibles, open them up. There should be Bibles maybe under the seats in front of you or in the seat backs. Exodus is the second book of the Bible. Genesis, then Exodus. Genesis, then Exodus. We're in Exodus chapter 3. And in this passage, God is going to reveal himself to a guy named Moses. Moses is an Israelite. He was born in Egypt. His people were slaves. He barely escaped death from the evil Pharaoh. We talked through all of that. You can catch up on the podcast where we've been. Moses eventually kills a man, right? We talked about how God uses the broken, God pursues the broken, and Moses flees. And so here he is out in the desert decades later. I'm going to read the first few verses. Exodus chapter 3. Here's what God's word says. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. Just stopping there for a second. It's called the mountain of God because this is going to be a significant place in the book of Exodus and throughout some of the rest of the Old Testament. It's going to be a place where God's presence dwells in a unique way. And so it's foreshadowing or talking about the good things that are to come. The mountain of God. Verse 2, then the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that although the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. Now here's the first thing that God reveals about himself, about his character to Moses. God is the God who breaks through. I mean, you think about it. Think about the situation here. Moses is what? What's his profession? He's a shepherd, right? He's a shepherd and he's out in the wilderness. He's out in the desert tending a bunch of sheep. He's not sitting there on some kind of spiritual quest looking for God. And when you read Moses' history, you'll see that he's got some skeletons in the closet. He's running away from some stuff. But God breaks through. God pursues. Here we're told that it's the angel of the Lord who appears to him in flames. And then a few verses later, in verse 4, the angel of the Lord is said to be God himself. Let me just pause here and explain something. Four times in the Old Testament, including here in Exodus chapter 3, the angel of the Lord, notice the angel of the Lord, not a angel or an angel, the angel of the Lord is equated with God himself. You can see this in Genesis 16:9, Genesis 22:11, and in Judges 6:11, and then here in Exodus chapter 3, where the angel of the Lord is equals God himself, speaks as God himself. Now, those of us who maybe have grown up in church or who have been around the block a little bit recognize that we at Summerside are Orthodox, and by that it means that we hold to a Trinitarian understanding of the Godhead. That God is eternally Father, Son, and Spirit. He's not functioning in some instances as Father, and then he puts on a different hat and then functions as the Son, and then one other time he's over here playing the role of the Spirit. No, God is eternally existent in three persons, Father, Son, and Spirit. And theologians, many theologians and commentators argue that this is actually what's called a Christophany. Okay, there's two words that are important to understand in relation to this. There's a theophany, theos, from the Greek word God. So it's God being manifest in some physical way, right? God is appearing in some kind of tangible way. And we see this throughout the Old Testament, where different instances where God kind of manifests himself or appears and uses some kind of physical trapping to communicate himself. But Jesus also said, before Abraham was, I am. And Jesus talks about his pre-existence, in the New Testament. And so we should expect that if Jesus, the second member of the Trinity, is pre-existent, he was active in some way. So at the very least, this is God appearing in some kind of physical manifestation. And many commentators argue that this is actually Jesus, the pre-incarnate Jesus, a Christophany from Christ, made manifest here. And he speaks with the authority of God. He speaks as God. He is equated and synonymous with God himself. So Moses sees this burning bush here in the desert. Now, I've actually read some commentators who don't respect God's word say, you know what, it's possible, you know, so we can naturally explain it away. It's possible that the burning bush is actually just some kind of illusion. Maybe it was little golden berries that were swaying. Or maybe it was some kind of chemical or pollen release. And, you know, it looked like a flame of some sort. Maybe it was some type of optical illusion. Now, here's my comment to that. Here's my response to that. Moses was a dude who knew the wilderness, right? Moses spends decades out there shepherding, walking around. He's got nothing to do but look around at wildlife and plant life. Look around at the scenery, right? He's not there on his iPhone playing Bejeweled or something. Right? He's focused. He's looking around. He knows every plant, every animal, every trail. Here he's in a territory. He's out in the desert. He knows the plants that are around. And he recognizes, as somebody with experience, that something unique is happening here. Something supernatural is happening here. And what we notice from this is that God breaks through. This is the character of God revealed. God doesn't wait passively for people to stumble onto him. God pursues. This is the character of God. We see this throughout the Bible. The first two books, the first two chapters of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2, man and woman, Adam and Eve, are in a garden. It is perfection. They have a perfect relationship. They have a perfect relationship with God, and yet they are not satisfied with God's authority, and they rebel against him. They sin. They turn their back against God. And God's character is there revealed in Genesis chapter 3. Man and woman are frightened, they are ashamed, their eyes are open, they recognize that they have sinned against God, and they flee from him. They hide from him in shame. And what does God do? He goes looking for them. He calls them. He initiates with them. He starts the conversation. God is a God who breaks through. And we see this throughout the Old Testament. God pursues Israel in their formation, a people for God, a people that bear his name, that are his ambassadors on the earth, sent to proclaim the good news of their great God. That's the nation of Israel. And God reveals himself to Israel through their laws, through their ceremonies, through the temple, through the tabernacle. God reveals himself to Israel so that they can have a relationship with him. God is a God who breaks through. You need to know this about God's character if you're going to have a relationship with him. God pursues. And I know that some of you have experienced that. Or maybe in the lead up to you becoming a Christian, to you getting saved, you would say, I just can't get any rest. I can't stop thinking about this. God is on my heart. He's bringing things to my mind. He's working in my life. He's doing things in situations. He's answering my prayers. God is pursuing me. I can see that. This is the character of God revealed to Moses, and that's what you and I have experienced. God is a God who pursues. He is a God who breaks through the humdrum of everyday life, of being a shepherd out in the desert thousands of years ago. God is a God who breaks through. Here's the second thing you're going to notice in verse 4. He is the God who knows your name. Look at verse 4. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, saying, Moses, Moses. It's the same as the calling of Abram in Genesis chapter 22, right? God calls out to them by name. You think about this. Was Moses an anybody at the time? Right? He's a man on the run from the law. He has left everything behind. Everything that he once knew, his old life, he leaves it behind. And here he is, kind of, he's completely unknown. He's a nobody. And what does God do? God calls out to him by name. You ever met somebody in a certain context where you don't fully expect that they're going to remember your name? And then later on you meet them and they do remember it? What does that do for you? Like, cool. Hey, they remembered my name. I have this huge phobia, confession time, of getting people's names wrong. Because I don't want people to think that I don't value them. And so I have this propensity to just hesitate on being like, hey, and I know the name. I'm 99.5% chance, sure that I know the person's name, but what if I got it wrong? And they're always going to remember, it's like, my pastor doesn't even like me. He doesn't even remember my name. That's a lot of pressure. I should just walk around with a little Rolodex of like pictures and everything like that. Right? But when somebody remembers your name, there's something intimate about that. There's something unique about that, something special about that. And God calls out to Abraham by name. This is the character of God revealed. For my PhD, I had to do a ton of reading in Greco-Roman religious literature. So you think about Zeus and Heracles and Perseus and Theseus and, you know, all the different gods from the pantheon. And it's fascinating, when you read their understanding of their gods, their false gods, you'll see that their gods were active in human affairs, but they were petty and harsh and vindictive and lustful. They were easily angered and they were prone to crush, to manipulate, and to humiliate. But the real God, the true God, the one God that we have revealed to us in the Bible, is a God that knows your name. So kids, listen to me right now. Do you know that God knows your name? Do you know that God knows everything about you? In Luke chapter 12, verse 7, we're told that God even knows the numbers of hairs on our head. Now, for some of you, that's not that bad. I could take a guess at, right? But for some of you, those luscious locks that I covet in my darker moments of walking in the flesh, that's incredible. God knows the numbers of hairs on your head. Kids, listen to me. God knows everything about you. God knows everything about you. God knows everything about you. God knows everything about you, and He loves you. Parents, God knows everything about you. He knows your struggles, your fears for the future, the stress of bills. God knows everything about you. He calls out to the shepherd by name. He knows you. He knows your situation. Seniors, God knows you. Maybe the kids don't call as much as they used to, or you're feeling lonely, or you're feeling isolated. God knows you. God knows your name. He's not done with you. God knows you. This is a beautiful thing. God knows, listen to me, God knows your hopes, your dreams, your ambitions, your fears, your insecurities. But God also knows those things that you'd rather not talk about. God knows your sin. He knows your evil thoughts. He knows your pride, your self-centeredness, your selfishness, the way that you manipulate other people, the way that you've cheated other people. God knows everything about you. God is more aware of your sin and wrongdoing than you are. You are fully known to God, and yet you are fully loved. That's the angst, that's the drive of every human heart. And that is what a healthy relationship mirrors. To be fully known with all of my warts, all of my insecurities, all of my failures, and to be fully loved. You see that in a marriage that's healthy. You know what's incredible? Here's an example of what this journey looks like. You know, I said last week, I fell in love with my wife, and I would have married her a couple weeks after I met her. But as we've grown in our relationship, here's a tangible example. I wrote an article, an academic article that I sent to an academic journal, right? And I was pretty proud of it. It was a little bit different, and it got shredded by the reviewer. Really embarrassing, right? I put a lot of time into it, a lot of work into it, and it just got shredded and kind of wounded my pride a bit. Early on in my marriage, when I'm still battling this desire to let myself, or this fear to let myself be fully known, I would not have shared that with my wife until I went away, licked my wounds for a few days, and built my confidence back up. Because there's a fear to being fully known. But I found myself going to her and being like, oh, I got some crappy news today. She's like, what? What happened? I was like, oh, you know that article I've been working on? It got shredded, like, kind of hurt, you know, this desire that we have to be fully known, that is the foundation of all relationships, we can find that with God because we are fully known to Him, yet fully loved. God calls out to this nobody shepherd out in the desert with a bunch of sheep, and He calls him by name. If you're going to have a relationship with God, you need to know this about His character. He is the God that breaks through, that inserts Himself, that is active, that is pursuing. And He is the God who knows your name. And so He's coming after you. He loves you. He knows you. Now here's the third thing that you're going to notice that God reveals about Himself. Okay? God is the God who is holy. Let me read to you verses 5 and 6. So God calls out to Moses, and Moses says, "Here I am." And instantly God says, "Do not come any closer. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground." And then He said to him, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob." At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. God is holy. God says to Moses, "Take your shoes off." The common, the everyday, the regular is coming into contact with, coming into proximity with holiness. Holiness, or the holiness of God, is one of the most undervalued, under-talked about components of Christianity. It amazes me. We're very comfortable talking about God's love or His grace, and we should be, because He is love. He is filled with love, and He pours out His grace and compassion on us. But God is holy. God is complex. He's multifaceted, just like any of us, right? Can you imagine if somebody spent years, if your wife or your husband got up at your funeral and gave the eulogy of said, "Well, they were nice." And you'd be like, "That's one aspect of who I am. That's one small segment. Yes, I am nice, but I'm many other things." I hope that the person doing my eulogy would do some justice to it, right? It's the same way with the attributes of God. The holiness of God refers to the sum total of His absolute perfection, both morally in what He does and personally who He is. His absolute, utter perfection. He is without error, without spot, without blemish, and His holiness is not passive, right? It's not a soft little gentle lake. It's a raging fire, and it consumes what is not perfect around it. And so He says to Moses, "Take your shoes off before you come into contact with Me." That's why Moses hides his face. That's why to see God is to be killed. To see God with our mortal eyes is too much. His active holiness is too much for us to bear. It's too much for us to take in. It overwhelms us, our minutiae, our smallness, our imperfection, and our brokenness. So let me ask you this. If Moses has to take his sandals off to approach God, what are we going to do about our sin? Like if Moses has to take his sandals off, because even his sandals, something just completely neutral, like sandals, can't stand in God's presence, how are we as broken and sinful creations going to have a relationship with him? See, this is the push and pull of the Old Testament. Moses is drawn to the burning bush. He's drawn to God's presence. And yet God says, close enough. There's something in us that pulls us, that draws us, and that calls us to pursue something bigger than us. Despite what you read in the headlines or you read in the media, atheism hasn't taken over yet. The vast majority of people still describe themselves as some form of either a theist, a belief in God, or somebody who is spiritual, just believes that there's something out there. The vast majority of people still believe in this because God has created that, hardwired that into our DNA, into our hearts. That we thirst for something greater, that we desire something better, that we long to have a relationship with God. And the tension is that we are so broken and so sinful, that relationship is impossible. And God is revealing himself to Moses. God is displaying his character in relationship, in a conversation to Moses. And as the Old Testament continues, as the book of Exodus continues, God continues to reveal himself. The reason that you don't need to make up or figure out on your own what God is like is because God wants to reveal himself. He has revealed himself. He's revealing himself here through his word as recording the encounter with Moses at the burning bush. And throughout the Old Testament, as he is walking with Israel, as he is leading them, as he is teaching them, he's revealing himself to his people. And we see God's character in both his love and his holiness. That yes, he knows the name of the insignificant nobody that everybody has forgotten, and yet at the same time, he is a consuming fire of holiness that we cannot approach. And there's this tension. But years later, God's going to do something greater than the burning bush. Because God himself is going to come to reveal himself to us. And when we turn to the pages of the New Testament, we don't need to hear about an encounter with God or read about an encounter or something that God has done in the past. We can see that God is now fully revealed in the person of his son, Jesus. And that when you look at Jesus, you see God. The guessing games stop. You don't have to say, I wonder what God is like. I wonder if God loves the broken. I wonder if God loves those who are outcast by society. I wonder if God is patient with sinners like me. I wonder if God is loving, because you can look at the pages of the New Testament and see Jesus. When you see Jesus, the guessing games about God stop. Because Jesus is the God who breaks through. He is the God who inserts himself into human history in a physical form, come through the Virgin. And he is born and he lives a perfect life. And at every turn, he is teaching us. He is teaching humanity about himself. He breaks through, calls disciples, transforms them, and then unleashes them on the world. Jesus is the God who breaks through. And Jesus is the God who knows your name. In Colossians chapter 1, we're told that Jesus is the creator of all things. He is the sustainer of all things. And as your creator, Jesus knows you. And if you're hurting, open up the pages of the New Testament and see how Jesus interacts with those who are hurting. If you are lonely, open up the pages of the New Testament and see Jesus as he interacts with those who are lonely. If you are overwhelmed by your sin, turn to the pages of the New Testament and see Jesus as he interacts with and gives hope to those who are overwhelmed by their sin. Jesus is the God who knows your name. He is the creator. He is the one who knows everything about you and yet loves you. In fact, he loves you so much that he demonstrates it in his crucifixion. That Jesus would go to the cross in our place, in your place, and take the guilty verdict that hangs over your head now and pay for that. Absolve you of your guilt. This is what it means to become a Christian. This is what it means to be saved, is to place your faith and your trust, to say, Jesus, I'm done trying to earn some kind of merit with you or trying to push my way into your presence. I don't deserve to be here. You are a holy God. Instead, I am relying on what you have done for me in the cross, both your death and your resurrection, Jesus, where you defeated sin, hell, and death. This is what it means to be a Christian. Jesus is the God who knows your name, and he demonstrates his love for you on the cross. And finally, Jesus is the God who is holy. There are a few instances in the Gospels where people are given a glimpse as to who Jesus really is. The veil of the immediate is pulled back and we can see the eternal. And in every instance where Jesus gives glimpses of who he really is to people, they are overcome. Jesus is the holy, consuming fire God of the Old Testament. Jesus is holy, and yet he comes into human history not to use his holiness as a weapon to crush and kill and destroy. He comes into human history to offer his holiness in our place. And he goes to the cross where he becomes sin for us, trading his eternal holiness for absolute, abject sinfulness on that cross. And that when we place our faith in him, his holiness, his righteousness, his perfect, spotless record can become ours, and our sin, our shame, and our filth can become his. Jesus is the holy God of the Old Testament. See, you and I don't need to make up what God is like. We don't need to sit there and take our cues from pop culture, from sitcoms, or from what your grandmother told you. Right? We have God's Word. We have God Himself, the living Word in Christ, displaying to us God's character. You see, Moses heard a voice from that bush. But we have seen the living Word of God. Moses saw flame coming from the bush, and we have seen God's consuming wrath poured out on Jesus in our place, revealing to us God's character. Moses saw a bush in the wilderness, and as beautiful as that experience was for Moses, it pales in comparison to the cross that we have seen our Savior die on and the empty tomb that he was resurrected from. If you want to have a relationship with God, if you would say there has to be more to life than just existing, I don't feel like a pointless, meaningless group of cells that will blink out of existence in some point into the future. And none of this matters. If you would say, I want a relationship with God, how do I know what he's like? You look at Jesus. You look at Jesus. You look at Jesus. What Moses sees in the burning bush is but a glimpse of what we see fully revealed in Christ. If you call yourself a Christian, let me beg you, encourage you, push you. Be people of the book. Be people who open their Bibles and pour into it, who study it, who take it seriously, who look to Jesus, who feed on Him, find hope in Him. And if you're here and you're not a Christian, I love you. And I want you to experience what it means to have a relationship with your Maker, the one who gives you a sense of who you really are, the one who defines what it is to be human. And if you're going to do that, you need to have a right understanding of who God is. And if you're going to have a right understanding of who God is, you open the book and you look at Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you that as incredible as Moses' experience was at that burning bush where he hears your name, he hears the voice of God, he hears God's heart for hurting people in bondage, what we have seen in Jesus is greater still. Open our eyes today to see the truth of who Jesus is. Open our eyes to see you as you really are. And may we as a people be shaped by the character that you reveal to us in your Son, Jesus. And Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you will open eyes even here today. I pray that those who are not Christians here today will see Jesus for who he really is. Spirit of God, hound them, pursue them, love them, and woo them. We do this all for your name, for your glory, and your good. Amen.